everyone, and welcome to the 13 Club podcast. Just a little introductory note for some of our older episodes is that we used to be the Pretty Spooky podcast, but changed it due to similarity issues with another podcast. You do not need to start with episode one. You can always start with one of our newer episodes, but we do appreciate you going through the old ones as well.
Hey guys, we are back.
Hello.
What episode is this? Three. of the Pretty Spooky podcast. I'm Spectre.
And I'm Mira May. It's funny that it's episode three. It's very appropriate. This is very much episode third time's the charm.
Yeah.
So.
we had a lot of stuff come up, so we couldn't record, but we're determined to get this episode out on time.
Oh, absolutely. I think, like, I've thought about this episode more than any other at this point, just given how many times we've attempted to record it.
You're committed.
I'm always committed. Mm-hmm. I should be committed.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, it's sort of viable. I mean,
we both probably should.
How many times have I dressed up like a homicidal clown?
I think it's impossible to quantify at this point.
I wouldn't even want to try. So, we are here, episode three. It is the second day of June, I believe, as of recording. So today, I'm going to go first. And what I wanted to cover today was the Stairs in the Woods creepypasta legacy. Are you familiar with this at all?
You've told me about it, but I did not research it because I wanted it to be like fresh for the episode.
I feel like it's going to be the kind of thing that you've probably heard of before and, like, didn't think about it. Okay. And now you're going to be like, oh, yeah, that thing.
So if I yell, oh, at some point, then we'll know.
You know what? I'm going to expect you to.
Okay, well, if I don't, you can be disappointed.
Okay, so already right out of the gate, I dropped the ball on some of my, like, most important facts.
It's fine.
So the Stairs in the Woods creepypasta first showed up on No Sleep, and here's where I'm telling you I already lost my information. It's what year these were first posted.
Okay.
But they originated on No Sleep, which shouldn't surprise anybody. And the original title of the creepypasta was I Am a Search and Rescue Officer, Ask Me Anything, kind of a thing. I'm going to read, it's a little bit long, but I'm going to read the first one to you, and then we're going to discuss it from there.
I got my coffee, I'm ready. I'm settling in.
This is on Reddit, posted by You Search and Rescue Woods in No Sleep. I wasn't sure where else to post these stories, so I figured I'd share them here. I've been an SAR officer for a few years now, and along the way I've seen some things I think you guys will be interested in. I have a pretty good track record for finding missing people. Most of the time, they just wander off the path or slip down the small cliff and they can't find their way back. The majority of them have heard the whole old stay where you are thing, and they don't wander far. But I've had two cases where that didn't happen. Both bother me a lot, and I use them as motivation to search even harder on the missing persons cases I get called on. The first was a little boy who was out berry picking with his parents. He and his sister were together, and both of them went missing around the same time. Their parents lost sight of them for a few seconds, and in that time, both the kids apparently wandered off. When their parents couldn't find them, they called us, and we came out to search the area. We found the daughter pretty quickly, and when we asked her where her brother was, she told us that he'd been taken away by the bear man. She said he gave her berries and told her to stay quiet, that he wanted to play with her brother for a while. The last she saw, her brother was riding on the shoulders of the bear man and seemed calm. Of course, our first thought was abduction, but we never found a trace of another human being in that area. The little girl was also insistent that he wasn't a normal man, but that he was tall and covered in hair, like a bear, and that he had a weird face. We searched that area for weeks. It was one of the longest calls I've ever been on, but we never found a single trace of that kid. The other was a young woman who was out hiking with her mom and grandpa. According to the mother, her daughter had climbed up a tree to get a better view of the forest, and she never come back down. They waited at the base of the tree for hours, calling her name before they called for help. Again, we searched everywhere, and we never found a trace of her. I have no idea where she could possibly have gone, because neither her mother or her grandpa saw her come down. A few times I've been out on my own searching with a canine, and they've tried to lead me straight up the cliffs. Not hills, not even rock faces. Straight, sheer cliffs with no possible handholds. It's always baffling, and in those cases we usually find the person on the other side of the cliff or miles away from where the canine has led us. I'm sure there's an explanation, but it's sort of strange. One particularly sad case involved the recovery of a body. A 9-year-old girl fell down an embankment and got impaled on a dead tree at the base. It was a complete freak accident, but I'll never forget the sound her mother made when she was told what had happened. She saw the body bag being loaded into the ambulance, and she let out the most haunting, heartbreaking wail I've ever heard. It was like her whole life was crashing down around her, and a part of her had died with her daughter. I heard from another SAR officer that she killed herself a few weeks after it happened. She just couldn't live with the loss of her daughter. I was teamed up with another SAR officer because we'd received reports of bears in the area. We were looking for a guy who hadn't come home from a climbing trip when he was supposed to, and we ended up having to do some serious climbing to get where we figured he'd be. We found him trapped in a small crevasse with a broken leg. It was not pleasant. He'd been there for almost 2 days, and his leg was very obviously infected. We were able to get him into a chopper, and I heard from one of the EMTs that the guy was absolutely inconsolable. He kept talking about how he'd been doing fine, and when he'd gotten to the top, a man had been there. He said the guy had no climbing equipment, and he was wearing a parka and ski pants. He walked up to the guy, and when the guy turned around, he said he had no face. It was just blank. He freaked out and ended up trying to get off the mountain too fast, which is why he'd fallen. He said he could hear the guy all night, climbing down the mountain and letting out these horrible, muffled screams. That story bothered the hell out of me. I'm glad I wasn't there to hear it. One of the scariest things I've ever had happen to me involved the search for a young woman who'd gotten separated from her hiking group. We were out till late at night because the dogs had picked up her scent. When we found her, she was curled up under a large, rotted log. She was missing her shoes and pack, and she was clearly in shock. She didn't have any injuries, and we were able to get her to walk with us back to base ops. Along the way, she kept looking behind us and asking us why that big man with black eyes was following us. We couldn't see anyone, so we just wrote it off as some weird symptom of shock, but the closer we got to base, the more agitated this woman got. She kept asking me to tell him to stop making faces at her. At one point, she stopped and turned around and started yelling into the forest, saying that she wanted him to leave her alone. She wasn't going to go with him, she said, and she wouldn't give us to him. We finally got her to keep moving, but we started hearing these weird noises coming out from all around us. It was almost like coughing, but more rhythmic and deeper. It was almost insect-like. I don't really know how else to describe it. When we were inside the base ops, the woman turns to me, and her eyes are about as wide as I can imagine a human could open them. She touches my shoulder and says, "He says to tell you to speed up. He doesn't like looking at the scar on your neck." I have a very small scar on the base of my neck, but it's mostly hidden under my collar, and I have no idea how this woman saw it. Right after she says it, I hear that weird coughing right in my ear, and I just about jumped out of my skin. I hustled her to ops, trying not to show how freaked out I was, but I have to say I was really happy when we left the area that night. Now this is the last one to tell, and it's probably the weirdest story I have. Now, I don't know if this is true at every SAR unit, but in mine it's sort of an unspoken, regular thing we run into. You can try asking about it with other SAR officers, but even if they know what you're talking about, they probably won't say anything about it. We've been told not to talk about it by our supervisors, and at this point, we've all gotten so used to it that it doesn't even seem weird anymore. On just about every case where we're really far into the wilderness, I'm talking 30 or 40 miles out at some point, we'll find a staircase in the middle of the woods. It's almost like if you took the stairs in your house, cut them out, and put them in the forest. I asked about it the first time I saw some, and the other officer just told me not to worry about it, that it was normal. Everyone I asked said the same thing. I wanted to go check them out, but I was told very emphatically that I should never go near any of them. I just sort of ignore them now when I run into them because it happens so frequently. I have a lot more stories, and I suppose if anyone's interested, I'll tell some of them tomorrow. If anyone has any theories about the stairs, or if you've seen them too, let me know.
Ooh, that was a good one.
I'm particularly fond of these stories.
I can now hear Fortnite very loud.
Oh no. I'll be right back. I'll go turn it down.
It's fine.
Okay, I was hoping that my own voice would drown it out just enough.
If anyone, like, I feel like by now so many people play Fortnite. If anyone hears it, they're going to know exactly what that is.
It's possible. Yeah, hopefully. I want that to be in the comments. Someone's secretly going to be like, is that Fortnite?
It is.
Spoiler alert, it is. So,
that story was really good. I liked it a lot, and I have never read it before.
Well, that really surprises me. I actually came across the story. I don't remember where the first time I came across the story was. I really don't. But a couple years later, it must have been a couple years later, I was one of those things where I had stuff playing in the background, and it was people telling, you know, scary stories, and people retelling Reddit stories, and people retelling creepypastas. And that one came on, and I just remember, like, specifically hearing the Stairs in the Woods story and being like, oh my god, I've heard this before. This is crazy. And I just, like, stopped everything I was doing to keep listening. So those, I want to say...
How many are there?
So, oh, okay. So from there, and the user continues to upload 6 more parts to this series for a total of 7. Each presents anecdotal stories of things that the narrator has seen or heard from their buddies, people that they work with. There are a lot of stories with similar themes that seem to be possibly connected. There are more stories of Stairs in the Woods, a man with no face, children going missing after being out of sight for only a few seconds is a common theme. A fuzzy man or an off man in other ways comes back a couple of times. I guess the only change is that at the end of, I think, the third part, he mentions he's going on a yearly retreat with some coworkers, and parts 4 and 5 are kind of him retelling stories he's heard from other people at this, like, yearly retreat thing. The last part, which is part 7, he kind of ends with this really defeated tone, he or she. The author's job in question appears to be at stake for having drawn so much attention to the very strange things that seem to be happening at these public parks. He kind of is like, I'm taking a step back. My job is at risk. I need this job. And that's the last official update to the Stairs in the Woods saga. But nothing is ever, there's no real, like, linear plot. It's just a lot of stories with a lot of things that might or might not link up together. And depending on how people have interpreted them, the things that they come up with is kind of creates the lore, and I think that's really cool.
That's super cool. I really like that. I'm probably going to go read the rest of them.
So one thing that you can see if you check out this story series later, there is kind of a connection to somebody in the comments. A Reddit user named capital G, capital G, capital G, ILMA 87. So GG Gilma 87 leaves a comment saying that Paulides, which, is David Paulides. Paulides has been tracking these particular missing persons cases. And if you follow even a dozen of these cases, you would see there are more than a few overlapping details and commonalities. The way people seem to instantly vanish and cannot be located immediately in the vicinity, as well as how often it's been people who are at the end of a line. Other factors that often cross up are the numbers of people who go missing with their dogs. How many of the people who are found are missing their shoes? The rate of people who go missing while out picking berries, to name another, is also pretty high, as well as people who go missing and are found. They can't say what happened to them many times because they're young, or even if they're adults, memories of what happened, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so what this is basically... So there's a man named David Paulides, who's a cryptozoologist and an investigator. He writes a lot of stuff. He has 2 self-published books. One, less important to this, is dedicated to proving the reality of Bigfoot. And then the other book, which is relevant to the story, is a one book that is called Missing 411, which is his research and speculation about the disappearance of people in national parks and other public areas of wilderness. He attributes many mysterious, unspecified cases to these disappearances, but on the other hand, there are people who have analyzed his data and concluded that statistically, these disappearances are not mysterious in any way. But basically, people were drawing comparisons from this story to someone who has done real-world research about, like, strange disappearances in, like, national parks, public forests, things like that, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Yeah, that is cool. It adds another layer.
I wonder how much the creator of this series, like, drew from that and knew about that ahead of time, or someone told them about it and they went in and wove it more into later stories. But regardless, I think it's really, really neat. There are some interesting theories. If you go back and read these stories, I recommend scrolling through the comments. There are a couple people who regularly comment on the stories chapter by chapter, at least on the Reddit. And there are some really interesting theories out there, some of which are, to me, they don't use this term, but are like, seem similarly related to skinwalkers, which, yay, as you know, we have covered on a previous episode of this podcast.
Shout out to skinwalkers!
Skinwalkers, what? No. So, like, as I was digging deeper into people's theories about how these kind of, like, strange cryptid-like occurrences in national parks and things like that, how they all relate to me, I was like, oh, we just talked about this. Oh, I was
perfect.
Very excited.
Fits in perfectly.
Perfect. It was seamless. It was as if I meant to do it, but it just happened that way.
Well, you could have just played it off like you did mean to.
I'm not that smart. It's okay. I really, on a personal level, I really enjoy these stories because, you know, right now, like I said before, it's the beginning of June. And as we record this, it is just starting to get, like, really warm. Like, mm-hmm. It's really starting to feel like summer right now, which is great. We had a
here
long
too.
Winter.
Here, too. My AC just broke.
Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ. Oh, God. I can't even imagine. But that all that said, like, reading these stories as you read them, and maybe it's just me, but it really tapped into that, like, weird itch I get periodically, where I just, like, it's like my brain can almost, like, smell that earthy, woodsy scent when the trees start to, like, kind of lose their leaves a little bit, and it's, like, smoky almost. I can almost feel that little, like, nip on my face, and I can almost feel the, like,
you're like, skip
forward. Oh my God. Yes, my whole brain feels fall, and I get that feeling just a little bit when I read these stories, which I love, and it also reminds me of being back home. I used to live in a rural, like, mountain area of North Carolina, and if you go to seek these stories out, there is a whole subreddit. It's Our Stairs in the Woods, and they have a really nice kind of directory, table of contents, that has all the main stories in order, a bunch of side stories. Our Stairs in the Woods at one time had a Tumblr where they would publish, like, other side stories that were only on Tumblr. That Tumblr is now defunct for reasons I will get to in a minute. But someone has archived all the stories that the same author has posted. A lot of them are similar in theme. There are some that aren't. But there's a lot of really good things. The very first one on the list, I believe, is someone who is kind of, like, exploring out in the woods and finds a strange circle of mysterious objects. I don't want to spoil it. Like, there's not really a spoiling. There's nothing to spoil, but I want you to, like, go into the story fresh. I'm gonna move this on to the... I had, like, a bunch of notes about, like, different theories. But at this point, like, I'm not sure it's appropriate to discuss them. Like, if you were familiar with this story after all, and you'd have been like, oh, yeah, I've read these, I'd be like, great, let's talk about it. And
maybe
I have all these...
we should save those for the post-mortem.
I will. We're going to have Stairs in the Woods theories on the post-mortem. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, I'm going to read them, so.
Yeah. Well, yes. Okay. So, that said, put a pin in Stairs in the Woods, all right? So... Mm-hmm. Tell me what you know about Channel Zero.
Oh, the show?
Yes.
I mean, what else is there called Channel Zero? Maybe some other stuff. I watched season one, and I watched almost all of season two, but we were watching it on a very unreliable method of watching things, and episode 8 or 9 or something, we couldn't, the same episode, it was just like, they uploaded episode 7 like 3 times, but they listed it as 8, 9, and whatever, so we couldn't actually find those episodes, but we probably could now.
Yeah, that's probably true.
But I also, like, kind of lost interest, and so I was just like, oh, well, I'm not going to work too hard.
It's an anthology series, right? Like,
yeah.
American Horror Style. So, like, even if you kind of lost interest in season two, like, that doesn't mean season one is bad, et
right.
cetera.
So, I'm going to go ahead and take a guess here that season three is about Sayers in the Woods?
Sort of.
Okay.
So, if you get through the majority of the Sayers in the Woods stories, I think it's on the final one, the author reveals that they plan on writing a whole book of these.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to do some digging to figure out whatever happened with that book, if it ever materialized in any form or what.
Grabby hands at that book.
Yes, please give me this book. it seems like they did write a lot of other fiction and other stories, usually one-offs. A few seem like they're tied into the SAR series, but they're not directly numbered or anything. Or at least, like, related. A spiritual successor, if you will. But
system shock.
Yeah. We're already making callbacks to our own episodes. We are the worst.
That's fine.
But I couldn't find anything, and I was really excited. I was like, man, maybe there'll be a book, whatever, whatever. And then not that long ago, there was a post in the SAR subreddit, Sayers in the Woods subreddit. I don't remember exactly how long ago, but I'm sure we could figure it out. But I guess what happened was the creator of Sayers in the Woods, who, let's see, I looked up her name, but these are written by a lady, which is cool. She sold the rights to it to Sci-Fi and was brought on as a contributor to Channel Zero. But as far as I can tell, and this is the third season of Channel Zero, which is, I believe, called Butcher. But it seems like it is extremely, 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 extremely tangentially related to the stories.
Okay.
Rather than being, like, taking place in the woods, a lot of the, like, memorable monsters, I don't want to call them characters, but, like, the very, like, specific recurring
weirdos in the
weird
woods.
Things that happen in the woods are not present. They're not even in the woods. There are some stairs, and they're in, if the trailer is to be believed, because I only watched a couple of the trailers, but it's like, it's not stairs in the woods so much as it is like stairs in that like back lot adjacent to my parents' house, like stairs in the backyard, kind of.
Okay.
I don't know, it's like All the menace of the woods as a character themselves is gone, and it seems like more than anything else, it's about cannibalism and like cannibalism and mental illness, but like cannibalism. And there's very little stairs in the woodsness. I'm interested to check this out. Channel Zero has always been something that, like, being the person that I am, has been vaguely on my radar of things to watch. But I always, like, either forget it exists or don't have time.
From what I've seen for the first two, my personal opinion is that they start off really strong, and then they lose the thread at the last few episodes.
Yeah.
I feel that way about both seasons.
Ooh.
And then, to be fair, I never completed, like I explained, I never completed the second season, but I got to the point where, man, I might have been, like, very close to the end, if I think about, like, the plot of it. But I didn't care enough to, I was just like, might as well finish this now that we started it. But now that we can't, like, oh, well, I'm gonna just go watch Fargo.
Yeah, that's kind of like, well, okay, so in doing this, I read a few episodes with the guy that is the executive producer and creator of Channel Zero. And he was going on about how, like, important he thinks it is to involve the creators of these, like, the creepypastas that their season is based on, is to involve them in the show.
Yeah, give them money.
Which is cool, because he said in one of the interviews, like, if I can't figure out, like, if I can't track down the person that originally wrote this, if it's just impossible and I can't do it, then I give up on that idea and we'll find something else to do for that season. But I'm not going to do something if I can't properly attribute it to the creator.
Mm-hmm.
So I have, like, so much respect for that. That's really, really cool.
Yeah,
nobody else is doing that out there. But also, what's the point of involving people in stuff like this if they're going to change it so drastically from the plot? That's the original story. I mean, I don't want to poop on it too much because I don't want to poop on the girl who wrote these stories. They're amazing and they're like my favorite creepypastas right now. But like, also, why?
Well, the main issue I
just
saw.
Why?
Yeah. The main issue that I saw with the first two seasons is, and I feel like maybe it could be less of an issue since there's much more material with this. But the first two seasons are about really short creepypastas.
Yeah.
Like, Candle Cove is so short. It's not enough to carry an entire season, and it wasn't. And then you have No End House, which was also a really good creepypasta that was not enough to carry the entire season. And so they added this whole other plot line to it that I didn't really like. Well, both of them have completely separate plot lines that I didn't really like.
Yeah, and that's weird to me because, like, you're right. I mean, I haven't seen the seasons yet, but it does make sense to me that, like, you would come into a problem having enough content for something if you are going off something that's already short to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's only so much substance, period.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular series of stories manages to feel very fleshed out without explicitly stating something to you. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot there to work with, and you can interpret it a lot of different ways. It's right. never going to give you an answer, but it doesn't feel like you are, like, existing in a universe that's one-dimensional. It still feels multidimensional to me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's weird to me that they would choose to change so much from the one that's got the most to work with.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I am gonna make a way more concentrated effort to watch that show now that I know they made a season off of one of my favorite stories.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give it a go.
I'm honestly trying to keep my expectations really low. Mm-hmm. It just bums me out because I do encourage you to go back and check those other stories out and even some of the non-strictly SAR stories that are listed on there. Again, it's the subreddit r stairs in the woods, all one word. And it's amazing. I think it's also, it brought to my attention how curious I would be to know how many of, like, these great, well-known, well, like, circulated creepypastas are written by ladies. The, like, anonymity of the internet, like, makes it tough to tell.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the kind of community, like, if you were a girl, you wouldn't want to, like, advertise it. I don't know.
I feel like, in general, on the internet, sometimes it's hard to let anyone know. Like, we were discussing this. This is, like, a separate thread. But, like, we were discussing this with, like, when people, when you play online games and they find out you're a girl and then suddenly they don't think you can play the game.
Yeah.
So I wonder if, like, it's the same kind of thing. Like, they find out you're a girl, and apparently now you can't write stories. But
yeah, which is ridiculous. Like, anyway.
Not everyone is this way, but
it's yes, of course not.
It's definitely out there.
For sure. But I do wonder, like, what all stories are written by, like, badass ladies. Because I loved these stories to begin with, and for a really long time I assumed they were written by a male because you get a distinctly male voice from the SAR stories. But I did get the impression from some of their other non-SAR stories that they might be female or female identifying. Mm-hmm. And to only find out that was true made me, like, super excited.
Like, it makes me like it.
Girl power, you know. Yeah. If anybody has read these before, tweet at us. Tell us what you think.
Talk about it.
If you have not, like, I desperately, like, no joke, want to hear your opinion. So, like, hit us up on Twitter or Instagram or anything. I want to hear your thoughts and theories. Let's talk about Stairs in the Woods.
Yeah.
And No Face Man and the Bear Man. Let's talk about all of it.
I will arm myself with knowledge so I can be part of these discussions.
For sure. All right. So that's me. That's my thing.
Okay, my thing, which I originally had planned as a surprise, but then we, and I kept it as a, like, top secret
situation. You did a good job.
And then we tried to record this episode, so I've already read this to Mirame before, but I think it's still cool and still
I'm going to pretend sharing. To be really surprised.
Okay, even though now everybody knows.
I'm going to keep up the pretense.
But I still have a surprise for you.
Ooh,
in my Reddit story, because it's a really good, it's a really good one. All right. So my topic this week is Lake Lanier.
Okay.
And I came at this from a, I started with an article by Brent Swanser that was published in 2015 on the website mysteriousuniverse.com. And then I also expanded my search to Reddit, the Gainesville Times, and AJC.com.
Okay.
And so I'm going to just read my notes here. And I took so many notes. This is
I'm so ready.
This is the most researched topic that I've done so far. So Lake Lanier has been associated with strange phenomena, weird creatures, and a vast number of inexplicable deaths and unsolved murders. Lake Lanier is located at the foothills of the North Georgia Mountain. Lake Lanier is a man-made reservoir created when the U.S. government purchased a 100-acre farm from a river ferry operator to start a water project on the Chattahoochee River for a purpose of providing the city of Atlanta with hydroelectricity, flood control, and water supply. Mm-hmm. In 1950, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers started building the Buford Dam, which was completed in 1956, and they began flooding the foothills to create this lake. The project itself met a lot of resistance. There were a lot of arguments about water flow requirements, consumption caps, and how the water should be used, and whether or not to give it priority as a water supply, hydroelectricity source, or even as a recreational spot. Laws for endangered and threatened animals in the area also caused an issue. They even bickered over the name, which ended up being called Sidney Lanier Lake after the poet. The U.S. government made a rush to buy land from everyone that would end up underwater after the flooding was completed. This took 5 years, and the water took over 50,000 acres of prime farmland, pristine wilderness, and caused more than 250 families, 15 businesses, and 20 cemeteries, corpses included, to move. They dug up the corpses and brought them somewhere else. So, in my opinion, that is the explanation for all of the weirdness here.
That is a bad idea. That is exactly how you make sure your lake is haunted.
Yep.
Why don't you just dig up every single body for 5 miles?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
20 cemeteries. The lake covered entire towns, forests, and other lakes. This created underwater ghost towns, which in parentheses I put rad as fuck. Over the years, there have been countless deaths associated with the lake, ranging from boating accidents, drowning, and even cars veering off the road into the lake. Some stories cite boats hitting something and finding out that there was nothing there. Sudden, intense waves are said to ripple through the waters unexpectedly, and strong swimmers in calm waters have drowned close to the shore.
Oh, that's no good.
People who have almost drowned in Lake Lanier have said that they felt something was pulling them underwater, and that they were held by unseen hands.
I don't like that.
And or the air was forced from their lungs suddenly, and they fell into a state of exhaustion.
I really don't like that.
Yeah, that drowning is scary. People who have drowned close to the shore have had their bodies found in positions far from where they died, causing rumors that ghosts dragged their corpses through the water before discarding them. And in parentheses, I put, forcing them out of the lake? With, like, question mark, exclamation. In 2011 alone, 17 deaths occurred at the lake. And since 1994, 160 people have died there.
Wait, okay, so since 1994?
Yeah, 160 people have died.
160
and,
people
and that's have died as of since that's as of this article, which was 2015.
Well, so there may have
been more.
Yeah, Jesus. Okay, and then how many was it in 2011?
17. I think that was the high for number of deaths in a year.
That's insane.
Yeah.
17 deaths in one lake.
Yep.
I can't
On June 8th, 2012, 9-year-old Jake Prince and his 13-year-old brother Griffin were on a pontoon in the lake and they were hit by a speeding boat. They were both killed. On July 9th, 2012, 11-year-old Kyle Glover, who was the son of Usher, like famous Usher's ex-wife.
He was on an
inner tube. And he was struck by a family acquaintance on the jet ski, and he died 2 weeks later.
What? A jet ski? A freak jet ski accident.
Yeah, by a family acquaintance.
Wow.
I guess they're probably not friends anymore.
We don't talk about it anymore. How dare you bring that up?
There have also been noteworthy mysterious deaths and disappearances.
Ooh, so, I like those. I mean, I don't like them. I don't like anyone to go disappearing, but you know.
This one is my favorite one.
Okay, tell me.
Kelly Nash, age 25, went missing from his home in Buford, Georgia on January 5th, 2015. Mm-hmm. He had awoken at 4 a.m. with flu-like symptoms.
Oh.
He told his girlfriend, Jessica Sexton, that he wanted to see a doctor, but then he went back to sleep.
All right.
Sexton woke up at 7:30 a.m. and she found him gone. Uh-oh. He did not take his keys or wallet with him. He did not return that evening, and so a search began.
Okay.
One month later, his badly decomposed body was found in Lake Lanier by a fisherman. He was still wearing his pajamas and had a single gunshot wound in the head.
What the fuck?
This case has not been solved, and it is unclear whether this was a homicide or a suicide.
Are there not ways to tell from a gunshot wound if it seems self-inflicted or not?
There are ways,
I don't...
If he was so decomposed, it could be hard.
That's a good point.
I personally I don't know all the details of the case, but I would vote that it's homicide because why the hell would you say, I need to go to a doctor? And then go back to sleep and then, like, why would you draw attention to yourself and then go quietly kill yourself on a lake?
Why would you imply that you are concerned about your own well-being? Like, exactly. I want to go to a doctor and then be like, no, never mind. Like,
just kidding.
I'm not saying it's not possible, but I think it's unlikely.
Especially the flu-like symptoms.
Yeah, that makes me feel like he's been poisoned or something.
Exactly. Poisoned, and then it didn't work, so they decided to go ahead and shoot him just to be sure.
Well, maybe
What if it was the girlfriend?
Oh, no, I was going to say something even more crazy. I was going to say the Rajneeshi cult.
Oh.
Maybe they just gave him a cold. Except this is in Georgia. No. That's the first thing my brain went to, because, like, Pulp Added makes a reference to the Rajneeshi cult at, like, every opportunity he gets.
That's an interesting topic.
It is, but it's losing its impact here, because it's brought up so much, so...
Hannah Truelove went missing at 16 from an apartment complex she lived in near Lake Lanier with her mother in August of 2012. Her body was
found... Oh, that's really recent.
Yeah, well, the last one was 2015.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, Kelly Nash.
I didn't realize that was so recent. I didn't hear that part. Okay.
Yeah, in January 5th, 2015. Wow. So in August of 2012, her body was found the next day by another apartment resident in a wooded area near the lake. She had been stabbed multiple times, though according to the Mysterious Universe article, they were unable to confirm the stab wounds were the cause of death. And then they go into her Twitter a little bit, which is still up if you search Hannah Truelove, which I feel like is creepy. That's like the weird age we're living in where your Twitter lives forever.
Did you ever look up Elisa Lam's Tumblr?
No, but I, like...
That's still up.
Oh, shit. Now I know what I'm doing later.
I don't remember what it is, but I know... Well, as of, like, a year ago, it was still up.
I'm sure somebody capped that whole thing, even if it's not up.
You should,
So, she... It says that the tweets she made shortly before dying expressed general discontent with her life at the apartment and concern over a stalker. Now, I didn't do, like, a deep dive of the Twitter, but, like, the recent tweets, there was one tweet that said that she was tired of living in, like, a crackhead apartment. Mm-hmm. I did not see any information about the stalker. And then her father said that she didn't seem any more discontent than usual. But the weirdest part about this case is that it hasn't been solved. So there's like a classic ghost story that is well known around Lake Lanier, and that is about Delia Parker Young and Susie Roberts, who in April of 1958, they went out for a night out and did not return home. Skid marks indicated that their 1952 Ford had crashed into the lake. Drivers searched the lake, but Lake Lanier is so murky that there is basically no underwater visibility. Ooh. So they didn't find anything until the next year. They found the body of a woman, and she was missing her hands and two toes off her left foot. They were unsure if it was her at the time, and then they didn't really do anything with that until 1990.
1990, okay.
When they found the Ford, and they found Susie Roberts. And they took this to mean that the woman found in 1959 was, in fact, Delia, and so they went back and changed her headstone to reflect that.
Oh, wow. Wow.
It is now said that a ghost woman in a blue dress with no hands walks the Lake Lanier Bridge. Searching for either Susie or possibly her own hands.
Oh, wow.
Other reports include a mysterious raft with a lantern being pushed along the lake by a mysterious figure with a pole. I like how they like use double mysterious. I'm not sure if that was me or them. Because this is like, these notes are like, you know, compiled from three articles. And at first I was like, that sounds like Hades, but apparently, no, it's like Charon, C-H-A-R-O-N, right?
Charon? I don't know.
It's like the thing, that awkward thing where you read a lot, but you don't hear something out loud. One report says two fishermen saw it about a half a mile in front of them. The mysterious figure yelled something at them and then dove into the freezing water swimming towards them. They panicked and went to leave, but before they could, the lantern went out and the mysterious figure along with the raft disappeared.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
On a lighter note, there is a legend of giant catfish said to be 5 to 7 feet long in the lake.
Oh, my God.
They are said to swallow dogs and attack swimmers. One story claims that in 1980, a truck full of chickens veered off the road, off the bridge into the lake. And the catfish, reportedly the size of a 12-year-old boy, rushed to swallow the chickens whole.
No! No!
It's a weird mental image.
That's too much. I don't like it. Show me people getting their eyeballs gouged out. I don't care, but don't show me a giant catfish eating a chicken.
Well, I'm okay with them eating the chickens. I'm not okay with the idea of them swallowing dogs whole. Leave dogs out of this. So the sort of devil's advocate argument here is that there are 8 million people a year that visit Lake Lanier. And so the high number of deaths is often explained by the high number of traffic in the area. And other people say that people are just really fucking drunk from all their boat and lake parties, which causes accidents and drownings.
I mean, it seems possible. That is true.
But that's
interesting.
Certain mysterious, like, the case of, I didn't want to get the name wrong, but Kelly Nash. It's not like he was having a boat party.
Yeah, no.
He was in his home having the flu.
God, that one's crazy. It reminds me a little bit of not to be that person, but it reminds me a little bit of the thing from my story from the Stairs in the Woods, the investigation of like David Paulides in the Missing 411 book, which I'm interested to check out. I might read, actually. I know that, like, statistically, it might be a bit, dodgy, but I think it's still probably, like, a good read.
I feel like every topic that we ever cover here is a little bit dodgy. That's the whole point.
We're not here to bring you the truth. We're just here to tell you a good story.
Yeah, and discuss and give our opinions you didn't want about those stories.
Nobody asked, but we're gonna do it.
Yeah.
You can't stop us.
So anyway, Lake Lanier sounds cool. I kind of want to visit now.
That's probably, like, a short drive from, like, my parents, like, my hometown. Like,
all right, let's go party at Lake Lanier.
It seems possible. We should try to rent that cabin.
Yeah.
That's the thing that creeps me out the most, is, like, the thing about the, like, symptoms of feeling sick makes me just, like, immediately think of, like, flesh-eating bacteria or something. And I'm yeah. like, that's the thing that, like, creeps me out more than, like, most things, is, like, bacteria and mold and spores and stuff. But I think that's because I'm just so allergic to literally everything.
Let me tell you a quick real-life horror story from my life today.
I'm not ready.
So, I recently purchased a home. The home is from 1958. And the person who had it before us really tried to do a lot of things to, like, update it and make it new. But he was really bad at all of those things. And he just really took a lot of shortcuts. And we, although, like, it's in a great location and we know that it's already, like, it's already gone up $10,000 since we moved here just from property value. Mm-hmm. And since February. And we love the location, and I love the house, but there are certain things about it that were, like, absolutely a horror story, and this is one of them.
I'm ready.
Yesterday our air conditioning unit broke, and mm-hmm. we had somebody come out here, and the inspector had originally told us that it was in good working order and that it was 8 years old. It turns out that the air conditioner was 16 years old. When they open, and it also was supposed to be only used for mobile homes. But the grossest part about it, yeah, it's not a real AC unit.
I don't understand.
So then the when they opened it up, the whole thing was just, like, infested with mold and fungus, and that's just been pumping through my house. That's what's wrong with me.
You've been breathing that for weeks.
Yeah, I have.
Not to be that guy.
Nova has. Our kittens have. Our dogs have.
I would, like, legit, I would be dead in your house. Like, I'm allergic to mold as it is, and, like, I can barely live in a home with all the pets that I have. Like, sometimes
I've been sick.
Like,
I've had multiple colds since living here. And I don't know if maybe they were just intense allergy attacks.
They could have been. It could have even been just, like, your immune system being lowered from being exposed to that stuff over a long period of time.
Well, they cleaned it out, and then we are getting a new AC unit, like, really soon.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
You live somewhere very hot and swampy, so it would be very difficult to.
Yeah, but here's an adult life horror story. The new unit and everything costs $13,000. Okay. Now it's time for the Reddit story that I was going to surprise you with.
Surprise, I'm ready. Surprise, $13,000 for a new... That's your horror story, right? That's the Reddit story?
It was mostly the mold, but I don't know which is worse, honestly. So this was posted by R.W. Bingham. So, like, Rubingham? R.W. Bingham. 5 years ago. On, I don't remember what subreddit. I actually do. It was an Ask Reddit post. Okay. And it was like, Reddit, what is your creepiest story that somebody else has told you?
Oh, okay.
And so this person said, it was near Halloween time when my friends and I were telling ghost stories. My friend said that she was going to tell a story about her parents' first date. She said she didn't like telling the story since it was actually true, but we prodded her on. To cut to the chase, the parents had spent a nice, if awkward, first date, and around the time that they would have said goodnight, the male in the situation, my friend's dad, suggested that they go for a midnight hike up in Provo Canyon.
I think I know this one, but keep going.
He apparently knew the place, since he had done a fair amount of rock climbing in the area. So the two drove up the mouth of the canyon, got out of their cars, and started hiking just under the light of the stars, since it was a new moon. At some point, the male starts getting
new moon, you wouldn't be able to see the light of the stars, right? It's dark. The stars aren't giving off a lot of light. You'd need, like, the light of a full moon.
It says they got out of their cars and started hiking only under the light of the stars because it was a new moon. Like, there wasn't any moon. So they probably couldn't see anything.
Yeah, they were probably blind as fuck.
more of the story elaborates on that.
Okay.
But at some point, the male starts getting a bad feeling since the pathway ahead, which would pass under some trees, would be completely dark. And because it was getting quite late, he ignores the feeling and presses on. In later rehearsings of the story, the female would say that she had felt the same feeling, but at probably the same time, though she didn't know the trail like he did. A minute later, the feeling came back to the male, he ignored it, and started walking a bit of the way into the trees when his foot hit something soft in the middle of the path. Under the trees, it was too dark just to see what the soft thing was. And the feeling came back stronger than ever. Instead of finding out what his foot had bumped into, he and the female both agreed to hightail it out of there. Years later, after being married for some time, they were watching an interview with serial killer Ted Bundy. In response to a question asking him to describe the time that he felt closest to being caught, he explained about that night, about how he had lured a girl into Provo Canyon. He had just killed her when he heard some people coming up the trail. He explained how he hid in the trees just in time, only to watch some guy walk right into the body and for some reason just turn around and walk away. Mm. Too long, didn't read version of the story. Friend's parents stumbled upon a fresh corpse left by Ted Bundy on their first date.
I have heard that one, and I love it. Oh my god.
It's so good.
I hope it's true.
I hope it's true, too.
That's my headcanon.
It seems like a really weird thing to lie about. I mean, people do lie about things all the time, but it seems like a really specific thing to lie about.
I feel like to come up with that, if it's fake, you would have had to have like heard specifically that interview and like reverse engineered the whole story around this idea.
Exactly. I was thinking that too. And they had to have been familiar with Provo Canyon. They're like, hey, we're close to that, so we might as well have...
Right.
Been there on that night, even if they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
But it is an oddly specific thing.
I love it.
I like the part also that says that the girl did not like telling the story.
Yeah.
I think it's funny, though, because if it were me and those were my parents, I'd be like, hi, my name's Spectre. One time my parents, on their first date, found Ted Bundy's for the... Found a Ted Bundy corpse.
I know. I would.
I'd just be. That would be on my business card.
Your resume.
Yeah.
Absolutely everywhere. That's the first thing people really need to know. That's how they. I mean, to understand you as a person, I think that story really encompasses that.
Well, I mean, I might as well just start saying it anyway at this point.
Do we have a superstitions story for today?
I just busted out the book.
You ready to go?
Yeah, let's do this. I don't even know what kind of bird this is, but it's a jackdaw.
I've heard of that, I think.
Like the crow and other large black birds, the jackdaw is widely considered a creature of ill omen. If a jackdaw settles on a particular house, death is likely to strike one of the occupants. This is even more certain if it comes down the chimney. Though in some European countries, a jackdaw perched on a rooftop is more optimistically a prophecy of a new arrival within the family. As with the magpie, it is deemed unlucky to see a single jackdaw, but less ominous to see several together. Jackdaws that fly noisily in an unceasing circle, meanwhile, are a warning of the coming rain, and if they are slow to return to their roosts in the evening, severe weather should be expected. Like, I'm not gonna spend all my time watching these birds to find out what's going to happen.
I feel like I'm not sure I'd be able to tell a jackdaw from a crow or a raven or a magpie. I am not a bird watcher.
About to look up a jackdaw.
Google it.
It looks like a crow, but it has, like, gray on it.
Where? On, like, the chest? On the head?
Like, around the head, and then it comes down onto the chest, and then some of them, it seems like the markings vary a little bit from bird to bird.
Gotcha.
But there's definitely gray involved.
So they're not,
the,
like, solid
the black. Eyes look different, too, from crows. They're, like, blue.
You're going to become a jackdaw expert now?
Yeah, probably.
I think you should go to school for jackdaw studies.
That's how I'm going to pay for my air conditioner.
Hey! You're just going to watch jackdaws and figure out what the weather is going to be.
Yeah.
It's been pretty rainy. I think you could probably just guess.
Mm-hmm.
You got like a 50-50 chance of getting it right, right? Raining or not raining?
Well, also, yeah, here. I can, like, right now, I'm just like, it's raining, and I'll be right most of the time. Anything else?
I think that is going to do it for me. If you want to start up a discussion about any of the stuff we've talked about here today, you can hit us up on Twitter or Instagram. It's at Ominous Glitch both places, although on Twitter there is an underscore between Ominous and Glitch. Mm-hmm. We have our website, ominousglitch.com, where I'm going to be posting a post with links to a bunch of supplementary material to the stuff we researched and used here, in case you want to look up more yourself. We also do reviews on comics, reviews on movies, reviews on all kinds of cool stuff outside of strictly the horror-based things, although we do horror posts as well. We can be reached individually on Twitter and Instagram. It's not too hard to find us. And if you have any requests for things, we might consider doing them in a future show. We did one last time.
Yeah. Also, if you are listening to this podcast and you're interested in seeing the video of us doing the video chat, it's just like it's not Skype. It's Discord. It's
yes.
A Discord call. It's just webcams of our faces. But if you feel like that's something you want to watch instead of listening to the audio, feel free to go to our YouTube. It's Ominous Glitch. And vice versa, if you like to listen to this in your car, we are available on many different podcast streaming services at this point. Just search for Pretty Spooky.
Yes, please, if you do that, if you feel generous, give us a subscribe or a like or leave us a comment or leave us a rating. That's always good for us. So thank you guys for coming back. We will have a postmortem up for you next Monday, and we'll see you soon.
Yep.
Bye!
Bye!